from KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Have you heard about the flip-flop flap? A few weeks ago, the Women's National Championship lacrosse team from Northwestern University paid a visit to the White House. So far, so good. Except the official presidential photo shows four of the women wearing flip-flops. The attendant publicity has horrified some and made others say, whatever. So, does the flip-flop flap reflect just the usual generational divide, or does it symbolize a deeper split over what's appropriate and what isn't? A look at style, etiquette, and old-fashioned manners. Next on Forum, after this. From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Well, this should be fun. For the next hour, we're going to talk about style, manners, what's appropriate, and what isn't, from saggy pants to tattoos to tongue piercing. Should old people care about what young people wear? Should young people care what old people think? When is style a statement? And when will it affect whether or not you get a job? And what about old-fashioned manners, shaking hands, sending thank you notes, that sort of stuff? Is that passé, or does good form still matter? And oh yes, what about that Northwestern lacrosse team wearing flip-flops to the White House? Joining us now to talk about matters of manners and other things are Charles Purdy. He is the author of Urban Etiquette. He also writes a column on all matters of social grace for the San Francisco Weekly. Charles Purdy, good morning.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Here too is Brandon McFarlane. Brandon is a 19-year-old starting this fall at a freshman starting at San Francisco State this fall. And he also wrote a recent commentary, wonderful commentary on saggy pants for National Public Radio, which we will hear an excerpt from in just a moment. Brandon, good morning.
How you doing, Dave?
Good to have you here. And lastly, on the phone from Evanston, Illinois, Kristen Bogey, a member of that Northwestern Women's Championship lacrosse team who visited the White House wearing
flip-flops?
Flip-flops. That's the answer. Kristen, thank you. Happy to have you here this morning. So I just have one question for you, Kristen.
Uh-huh.
What did your parents say?
Well, I mean, my mom actually took me to the store and bought the flip-flops with me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so I know a lot of the mothers were mortified about it, but, I mean, it didn't even really occur to us. I mean, I was wearing, like, a nice dress and I mean, the footwear we didn't even think twice about it. It never occurred to us flip-flops to the White House. I don't know. We just weren't thinking, I guess.
Well, and if anyone wants to see, they indeed were all very nicely dressed. And if you Google flip-flop flap, you will get about 10,000 different listings you can go to, including pictures of the Northwestern Championship lacrosse team, all, as Kristen suggests, looking very nicely dressed indeed. So, Kristen, has the flap part of the flip-flop totally surprised your teammates?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we didn't hear anything about it until a couple of days after we'd visited the White House, and all of a sudden it's on the cover of the Chicago Tribune, and we were like, oh, my God, what's going on? And then, I don't know, it just swept across the nation, I guess. We were on so many different news stations and radio stations, newspapers, and, I mean, we were just wearing flip-flops. We didn't think it was that big of a deal, but apparently, is a huge controversy. So,
well, let's get some reaction to the flip-flop flap from our other guest this morning, Charles Purdy. What would you say about the urban etiquette? There's no place where etiquette ought matter more, perhaps, than the White House. What's your sense of whether or not the Northwestern lacrosse team erred or was appropriate in wearing flip-flops to the White House?
I think they did err, but because their intention was not to offend, I think it's a forgivable error. There comes a point, etiquette changes over time, just like fashion and language, and as with those, there are people who push for change and people who resist change. And we're in the middle of something like that, when something is changing slowly, for example, the acceptance of flip-flops as formal attire, I think it's always safer to err on the side of conservative. Otherwise, you do risk offending people, and I think it's not the fact that they're flip-flops, but what flip-flops symbolize, and I saw the picture, the flip-flops these women wore were very nice. I think they symbolize a casual attitude that is definitely out of place at a function such as meeting the president at the White House.
Although I should say that they've been defended by no less an etiquette authority than the Emily Post Institute.
Have they? That's funny. Usually I'm on the other side of that disagreement when I rarely disagree with them.
Brandon McFarland, what do you think about the great flip-flop flap?
Well, this is America, and, what better way to show the president, freedom of expression and all of that good stuff, then to wear what you want to wear. I mean, I don't see the big deal, but I am young, and, I do like the ladies with the flip-flops.
Brandon McFarland is one of our guests this morning. He represents Youth Radio, and we'll hear a commentary on a matter of style from Brandon in just a moment. And Kristen, I know you can't stay with us long, but we should also point out that you're going to take advantage of the notoriety that your flip-flops generated. And what are you going to do with them?
Well, there was a little girl who's one of our number one fans, and she has cancer, actually. So we decided that, we took her under our wing during the season, and she was one of our biggest supporters. So we decided to auction our flip-flops off on eBay and give all the proceeds to her. So we turned something negative into a positive, so we feel good about that.
And what have you netted so far as the auction, the flip-flop auction goes?
Well, it actually ended, I think my flip-flops ended like 2 days ago, and they ended up selling for, I believe, like $220.
All right.
So that was good, yeah. I'm not positive how much the others end up going for, but last time I checked, somewhere in like the 300s. We had a lot of people bidding, which is exciting. So,
Kristen,
Go ahead. I think that I'm positive we are over $1,000. I'm not sure how much we ended up getting, though.
All right. Kristen Bogey, who's a member of the Northwestern Women's Championship lacrosse team, who visited the White House wearing flip-flops but has turned that fashion statement into something of benefit for a child in need. Kristen, thanks very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
So what do you say to that, Charles Purdy? They've taken this fashion statement, and it's turned out to be something really helpful to a child in need.
I think that's wonderful. And again, I think this problem, I am sort of surprised it sparked this much controversy, because it is sort of a minor thing. I think what's gotten people interested in this or upset about this is what is a larger issue of people not recognizing when they ought to be showing a certain level of respect. And clothes are very symbolic. This isn't about flip-flops, I think, so much as it's about the symbolism that clothes have. We live in a society where what you wear is very important. It says who you are, who you want to be, how you feel about the people you're dealing with. And I think maybe that is the issue, that larger issue is what's upsetting people right now.
Charles Purdy is author of Urban Etiquette and writes a column on matters of social grace for San Francisco Weekly. And let's get to another example of that larger issue and what clothes represent. And so we're going to listen to a little bit of Brandon McFarlane of Youth Radio's commentary on the subject of saggy pants, which for anyone over the age of maybe 35 or so is a phenomenon that's difficult sometimes to understand. So Brandon tackled this very difficult topic in his radio commentary, which then subsequently aired on National Public Radio's All Things Considered. So let's listen to an excerpt of Brandon McFarlane's commentary.
You notice anything different about me, Mom?
New pants? They're not sagging?
Oh, yeah. I have my pants pulled all the way up.
Is it going to stay like that?
Yeah. I quit. It's no more sagging.
Yep, I've given it up for good. I had what alcoholics call a moment of clarity. That's it, I declared. I can't do it anymore. I unbuckled my loosely tied belt, grabbed the east and west sides of my waistline, and yanked my jeans up to my belly button. I was a new man that night, born again. But my mom reminds me, in my sagging days, no place was sacred.
You tried to sag some slacks once for a church function. They were slacks. It's like, you can't sag suit pants. But yeah, you tried.
Come on, Mom. You tried, too.
I know when my mom and dad were my age, they tried to wear some ridiculous stuff. Check out what my dad would wear to a club back in the day.
Some bell bottoms, silk shirt, big collar, and a scarf around my neck.
With the chest out, right? Did you have a fro back in the day?
Yes.
This is radio, but just for the record, my dad has no more hair. It's all gone.
An excerpt from Brandon McFarland of Youth Radio's commentary. That commentary originally aired on National Public Radio's All Things Considered. And we'll try to figure out before the end of the hour how you can listen to it in its entirety if you'd like to be able to hear a streamed complete version. And Brandon, I've got to say, I particularly identified with your father at the end of that commentary as someone who is not only losing his hair but got married wearing yellow bell-bottoms and an orange silk shirt. I was glad to see that you referenced the fashion mistakes of our older generation.
Yeah. And, you know, I just believe that every generation has their own, you know, fashion trends. And it's definitely a widespread trend, not just in, you know, urban areas, but also in suburban areas. You know, we have, like, skaters and stuff that sag their pants and wear their pants wider than most of the inner city youth. So
do you, Charles was saying before that clothes make a statement, and would you agree with that sagging or not makes a certain kind of statement?
Definitely makes a first impression, either good or bad, depending on the area that you're in. Like, I would never go to a job interview
or the White House
or the White House for that matter wearing just like some jeans or anything. I would you know, put on something casual that looked really nice, so people could you know, say that young man is going places or whatever. You know, even though I have these clothes and I feel like I'm very much a part of my generation, I just feel there's certain places you can turn it on and off.
Sometimes the going back and forth is sometimes called code switching. Would you do that? I mean, would you wear
Definitely.
One thing in one part of town and something else in another part of town?
Like my man Wiz says, it's about infiltrating the system. So, yeah.
Well, and good manners and etiquette are very dependent on context. You don't have to wear a suit and tie to everything. It's very dependent on context. So having good manners may even mean in some circles that you do bag your pants or that you do wear flip-flops because that's the expected code of how people behave. And I think everybody does that to a certain extent. They change their behavior depending on where they are. And that is good manners, understanding that my behavior needs to change a bit because I'm at the symphony, not at the beach.
Brandon, have you noticed people responding to you differently since you pulled your pants up?
Well, yeah. I got a lot of, I get a lot of just thank you for doing that. Everyone thanks you for, you know, pulling up your pants finally.
And we may come back in 75 years and saggy pants are the norm and the people who pull their pants up are the people who are the cutting edge of fashion and culture. So things change over time. You never know.
Charles Purdy and Brandon McFarland are our guests this morning. Brandon is the representative of Youth Radio. He's also going to be attending San Francisco State this fall. His commentary aired on National Public Radio. Charles Purdy is the author of Urban Etiquette, and he writes a column on all matters of social grace for the San Francisco Weekly. And we'd like you to call in your questions about matters of manners, matters of attire, things that bother you, things that you would like advice on what is the appropriate thing to do. You can call us on all matters of questions about urban etiquette, do's and don'ts, at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Or you can email us your manners questions at forum@kqed.org. What have you learned from this experience, Brandon, about I don't know. Does it seem to you that you've made a kind of statement about who you're becoming as you become an adult?
I mean, initially, when I first pulled up my pants, it was for a whole comfort thing. Like, I wasn't able to function normally with the pants like that. So I pulled them up, and I felt better, a little more more confident And but the reaction I got from other people, you know, made me think like wow, like some people thought like I've grown or whatever when it was just like I was uncomfortable.
Right. And what about your friends? I mean, I can see, I imagine how your mom and your dad and you know, adults would react one way. But what about your friends?
Yeah, I was trying to get my friends to do it, and like none of my friends were really trying to go there with me. But you know, I tried, and I got a couple of them to pull it up for like a day, and then you know they just went back to the same old thing. But they respect my decision.
What, Charles Purdy, can you say about the impressions and the dangers that we all come to in terms of first impressions? If you see a guy walking down the street with sagging pants versus a guy walking down the street in suit and tie, what sorts of things do we get from, you were saying before that you think clothes say a lot, but can they also say too much? Can we read too much into what someone wears when they're walking down the street?
Well, definitely. And so that's a decision that each person has to make is, do I care what other people think of me? Do I care that they are going to make judgments about me based on what I'm wearing? And many people decide that they don't care. And that's a brave decision. And every culture, every society needs its fashion iconoclasts, or its people who don't care what other people think. But I think you have to make that decision knowingly. And you can't, and whether it's right or wrong, you will not be able to stop people from making split decisions about you based on what you're wearing. So we can all sit here and say that it's terrible. You should not judge people by what they wear, but by the content of their character. And that's true. But that's just not going to happen. That's not human nature. And so I think Brandon was right to say that, you know, he realizes you're going to go into a job interview and you want to be seen as an up-and-coming young man, so you're going to play by the rules of society, the larger society. And I think that's a decision that a lot of people have to come to, a lot of people have to make.
And we're getting some calls about matters of manners. Let's go first to Catherine this morning with her observation. Catherine, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, this is Catherine in San Francisco. I have a couple of comments, and then I'd like to take your comments off the air, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Well, one thing is that I wanted to I was reminded by what you said that Emily Post, and I'm definitely paraphrasing because I can't find my old nice blue Emily Post book, but says that manners are a matter of being at ease so that you can help others be at ease. And so that one of the main points about manners is that you're focusing not just on yourself but on the idea of the greater good. And it seems that concept of the greater good is sort of disappearing in our social discourse, and I'd just like to hear you guys talk about the implications of that for manners.
Great observation, Catherine. Before you leave us, what troubles you about what you see when you're in your everyday life?
Disrespect for each other and mm-hmm. disrespect for yourself. It just one way of describing that is that you're in a public place, and somebody does something that's really offensive or really, you know, it's just you're on a bus and they're being really, really loud and vulgar, and so you turn around and say, wait, this is a public place. And they interpret that to mean, yeah, that means I can do anything I want. And what I meant when I said that was, this is a public place. We need to pay attention and be respectful of each other.
All right, Catherine. Thanks very much for the observation.
Can I, one more thing about the White House. I just wanted to say, what are they supposed to be respecting there? Because Bush has embarrassed us and shamed us as a nation. So I think the question of whether they're wearing flip-flops or not is a little out of place.
All right. Thanks for the extra little bit of editorial there.
Thank you,
Catherine. Go ahead, Charles.
Well, there are two things to say to that. And first, she's right that when people talk about someone who was so rude, they're not talking about someone who wore flip-flops. They're talking about someone who was fundamentally selfish in how they interact with other people in their community. And for a matter of respect, you don't have to respect the person. You have to respect the office, I think, is what people are concerned about. And however you feel about George Bush, respect for the president on a visit to the White House it shouldn't be hard to do. And if you can't respect the president or the White House, you should decline his invitation to meet him.
The other point Catherine was making, though, which I think is fundamental, is that good manners means not just caring about yourself, but caring about other people and respecting other people and not making yourself the focus of attention. Not whether or not you know which fork to use that, or whether you wear flip-flops. That doesn't matter so much as it does just being courteous to other people. Brandon, comment on that, if you would.
I definitely love that definition because no matter what I wear, my attitude is still going to be the same, and which is, you know, just respect whatever area you're in. Like if I'm in somebody's house, you know, somebody's parents' house or something, I'm not going to talk to somebody and say things that would disrespect anybody in that house.
And are you comfortable calling someone else, whether that's one of your friends or an adult, on when they're doing something that you think is not respectful? Catherine was talking about saying something to someone on the bus who was being loud, and it doesn't sound like she got very far. Can you do that? Should people do that?
Nowadays, I don't know if you should. You know, I sort of just let people go and hang themselves on the manners tip. And just see how far they get with that, with their attitude, basically.
What about because that's something that I think a lot of people probably wonder about. If they're in a public place, on the bus, on BART, in a restaurant, something's going on that's really bothering them, do you just let it go or do you say something? And how do you assess whether that's a good move or, as Brandon suggests, might be a risky move?
That's a great question. And part of participating in a public space, like Catherine was saying, will involve putting up with some minor irritations. So someone's talking too loud on their cell phone next to you on the bus. That is a rude thing to do, but it's not really your place to correct them. You accept the fact that being in a public place means that people will irritate you a little bit. There are some minor annoyances that have to happen. But the other side of that is when someone is not only irritating you but actually infringing on your rights and on other people's rights, then I think maybe something does need to be done. But Brandon's right, too, that can be dangerous. If someone is on the bus, say, smoking, that's obviously breaking a familial rule and a law, and getting involved with that person is going to be a no-win situation because they're probably some sort of sociopath. So the best thing to do then, I say, is to alert the authorities, whether the authority is a police officer or the bus driver.
We are getting lots of calls and lots of questions about matters of manners and style, and we will take as many calls and your emails as we can when we return from our break. Let me give the numbers again. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Brandon, one email for you before we go to our break. This person writes, "Even though I think saggy pants look idiotic, such matters of taste have no objective bearing. Judging people on their appearance is fundamentally un-American. Manners, on the other hand, are important. Failing to say please or thank you or excuse me is something that shows that you're being too self-absorbed." So really what exactly I think your point about that, what matters is not so much what you wear, but how you act with other people.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely I agree. And just for the record, I was one of the worst, you know, case scenarios. Like, I would actually stand in front of the mirror and get my sag, like, perfect with my belt and everything, you know.
There's something wrong with that sentence, getting the sag perfect. I don't
perfect,
know about that.
Perfect, because you have a belt with the sag so it doesn't go below a certain point, you know. I call it the code red zone. You don't want to get down to that point. But yeah, definitely it's all about how you act.
And with that, we will have to close. We'll come back and talk more about sagging pants and all other matters of behavior, style, and fashion when we return. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. And welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour is the subject of manners, what's appropriate and what isn't when it comes to style, but also in how you act. Our guests include Charles Purdy. He's the author of Urban Etiquette and also writes a column on manners for San Francisco Weekly, and Brandon McFarlane of Youth Radio, who did a commentary on the subject of saggy pants for National Public Radio. And by the way, if you'd like to hear all of Brandon's commentary, here's how you can do it. Just go online and go to youthradio.org, youthradio.org, and then search under Brandon. and you'll be able to listen to the entire commentary, including what happens to his friends and a variety of others when they take up the cause of no longer sagging. Our call number to phone in if you have a question or a concern about manners is 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email your questions at forum@kqed.org. A bunch of emails coming in. Let me read a couple. Charles Purdy said earlier that the way you dress in a given situation reflects many things, including what you think of the other person. I think it also reflects what you think of yourself rather than just the other person. Another person writes, President Jefferson famously affected the demeanor of wearing slippers to the White House during dinner parties, so we shouldn't worry about all of that. Another person writes, American style and etiquette have become far too casual due to runaway consumerist egocentricity and desire for comfort on all occasions. And lastly, how can you discuss manners and appropriateness of attire without having an adult woman participating in the conversation? That from Elizabeth. Fair point, Elizabeth. And we should point out that we did have another guest who unfortunately could not join us this hour, Lisa Grotz, who is the former chief of protocol for Mayor Willie Brown in San Francisco and runs a group called the AML Group, which leads seminars on etiquette and manners. And Lisa was scheduled to be with us this morning, but unfortunately she became ill and could not. But fair enough for calling that question into play. Charles Purdy, what about this question of things becoming too casual? Is that something you agree with, first of all?
Things are becoming more casual, but that doesn't mean we have fewer etiquette rules. Informality brings its own etiquette rules, and this casualization now is becoming more and more the norm. And like anything, as I said, etiquette changes over time. What is acceptable in how we behave changes. Just not so long ago, the people you work with would never have dreamed of calling you by your first name. And now, if they call you by your last name in a culture where everyone uses first names, that almost comes across as standoffish and is rude. So things change. And the casualization isn't necessarily a bad thing, as long as people can keep in mind that the fundamentals, as has been pointed out, the fundamental of good manners is treating other people with respect and being mindful and thoughtful of how you treat other people and how you treat your community.
And Brandon, I know you feel that regardless of whether you sag your pants or not, you do certain things like opening doors for women, pulling out a chair for someone, walking on the street side of the sidewalk. Those are things that you think are good form.
Well, yes. Like I said, well, my parents are really – my dad is really old. And
I don't even want to ask what that means, but go
really old. Really old to a 19-year-old is like 53.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, he's old. And so, you know, he stresses all these old school rules. And a lot of the young generation of ladies don't even know, you know, that I'm supposed to walk, you know, on this side of the sidewalk, you know. So if something happens to you, like block the way or something like that, or you know, I'm supposed to open the door for you, and they're taken by it and they love it because you know they never had anything like that.
So it's not only good form, it's good strategy.
Oh yes. Right. Yes, Dave.
Let's go next to Jillian in Richmond with a question. Jillian, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is a question for Brandon. This is more of a style question. I'd just like to preface this by saying that I definitely recognize, sadly, that I'm getting old because I used to be the one that would turn the, you know, I would dress pretty funky and weird. But now I find myself just shaking my head at the saggy pants look. And I wondered if Brandon could tell me, where does this, I mean, I know the look kind of originated with rappers, I think, but what is the philosophy behind this? I mean, it's impractical, it's difficult to wear, and it's just been around for so long. I wonder if he knows how the look originated and kind of what, like, why does that look good?
Yeah. Well, the research I did brought me to the prison system and the jailhouse. Prisoners would wear their pants below their waistline because they didn't have a belt, and they were issued, you know, clothes that didn't really fit them. And so that's where part of it came from. And there were other brief things that were said about jail. Like if you were sagging your pants, then you belonged to somebody else. and just things like that. And you know how a lot of styles and stuff that come from jail automatically come straight to the streets or whatever. So
do you see it changing? I mean, do you think that that's a style that's, as the caller pointed out, it's been around for a while?
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. A long while. And it's been adopted as something else, totally. And I guess that's how fashion is too, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I see it getting better as years progress.
And some emails coming in. Here's a person who writes, as our society becomes more racially and ethnically diverse, what are the evolving trends in referring to racial and ethnic differences? I'm an older adult, and when I was young, one never talked about these matters. However, I found that with my friends of racial and ethnic groups other than my own, these topics come up. I want to know how youth address these differences, if they do. So a question, I guess, about how people come at this from different races, different ethnicities, different points of view. Brandon, what would you say to this older, probably over the age of 53, caller?
Yeah, well, it definitely differs from different subcultures of this young generation, like especially hip hop, because you know I'm all hip hop, like that's me, and they sag their pants really low. And you might see, like the surfer dude or the skater. The skater would sag his pants really low, and his pants would actually be like really, really baggy, as where mine aren't as baggy, but I sagged it.
And Charles Pretty, I mean, it is an interesting point. You were talking before about how we used to be more formal in terms of saying Mr. and Mrs., and we don't do that anymore. As America changes, as it becomes a different country with lots of different cultures and ethnicities and races, our view of what's appropriate manners or etiquette or whatever must necessarily change as well.
It does have to change, and it has changed a little bit, only in that we are more aware of what is appropriate and inappropriate in other cultures for the people who are the cultures that are sort of new to America, new to the United States. But again, I'll go back to the language analogy. It's like language. If you don't speak the language that everyone else speaks, you're not going to be able to participate as fully in society. And our overarching manners rules are sort of like that. If you don't know them or if you ignore them, then you don't participate as fully in the overarching society.
And as Brandon has already suggested, some things matter more than others. Courtesy matters more than maybe what kind of pants you wear.
Absolutely. And there's another quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, wrote a great etiquette book shortly after they left the White House. And she says, if ever following a formal manners rule would be unkind, then forget the rule and be kind instead. And I think that kindness is so fundamental. And when people talk about somebody being rude, they're not talking about baggy pants or flip-flops. They're talking about someone who was selfish.
All right. Let's get to another caller. Janet from Albany. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I actually missed it, the flip-flop thing. I got it a couple days late. But it just kind of brought to light. Last summer, I went to a funeral for my mother-in-law, and one of my nephew's girlfriend showed up in flip-flops. Now, this is Fresno, and I know it's hotter there, but at that time, I thought it rather odd. And because of the situation, I didn't speak up about it. I mean, there was a lot of things that were more, you know, it was not appropriate. But at the time, I'm over 40, but I felt like that there is definitely, it shows a lack of respect for the person, a lack of respect for the institution. And that's why when that came
and
up.
And for the occasion, perhaps.
I think that, you know, Brandon said something about it doesn't matter how I dress, I show respect. But I think, you know, people, I mean, I just saw this great play last night about crowns. And people, women, you dress up for church, you have this, you know, I think there's, you show though by the way, your demeanor or something. I'm getting kind of emotional here.
All right, Janet. Thanks very much.
Not very articulate. Thank you.
No, thanks for the point. And we've talked some about respecting yourself, respecting others, being kind. But also Janet is making the point, respect the situation.
Absolutely. And I think she makes a very good point. We do judge people by what they wear, and what they wear does say something, as wrong, whether it's wrong or right. We had an email from someone a while ago who thought we shouldn't judge people by what they wear, which may be true. But the thing is, what you wear can offend people. And I say, why offend people by accident because you've erred on the side of being too casual? I say if you're going to offend someone, you should do so with grim determination because you want to offend them, not because you decided, oh, I'll be more comfortable in flip-flops today.
Charles Purdy is one of our guests this morning. He's the author of Urban Etiquette and writes a column on manners for San Francisco Weekly. Here's an email from Annie in San Francisco, Brandon, that perhaps you can provide some advice about. My office recently hired a talented young man whose work I am very happy with, but he wears those saggy pants. My hope is that he will notice that he's the only person wearing saggy pants and change his ways for the office. Do you think this is probable, or should I ask him to make the change? What's your advice for Annie?
Well, judging from his brief description, I'm thinking he's like a creative man. It might mess with him a little bit, but he should come to terms with it. I have. Just come along with me, man. It's okay.
Annie, have your young colleague call Brandon. I think that's the solution that's before us. Let's go next to Mark in San Francisco. Mark, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. I've got a few comments because I happen to have a PhD in socioeconomics, and I work with at-risk youth and adults from the Bayview Hunters Point at Mission, most of whom all SAG. And I work in a teaching capacity. And out of the mouths of my students, they communicate to me that sagging is basically a slap to the face of white America. It is not cool to be white, to act white. To them, being in school, making good grades, wearing their pants pulled all the way up and belted correctly is acting white. And the difference that I see is back in the 50s or the 60s or even the 70s, there were different styles all across America, and it was about style or maybe about being different. To me, the difference with sagging is they're going beyond just a style note. They are trying to make a statement.
Yeah, let's get some reaction to that. Thanks very much for the call.
Sure. Brandon, thank you very much.
Brandon, what do you think with both your experience and those of your friends? Is it making a statement about white America?
I think overall it was hip-hop to me that made that statement. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm always going to be hip-hop, which means I'm always going to be rebellious, and I'm always going to shy away from what is expected of I don't know, the norm or whatever.
But as a young African-American man, do you ever get accused? Do your friends ever say, oh, you're acting white by dressing a certain way or acting a certain way? And how do you deal with that?
Most of my friends know me and know I'm real all the time, whether my pants are up or down. But at the same time, they look at me a little different, simply because, like, I'm here and I'm doing I'm working, you know, and a lot of the friends in the areas that I grew up in aren't really where I am yet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's where we sort of separate.
But in terms of that sort of pressure, Barack Obama at the Democratic National Convention a year ago gave a speech about how it ought to be okay for young African-American men, and he was speaking as an African-American political leader, to read books, to aspire to certain things. And he was talking about how it's not always viewed as being cool to do those things. Is that something you've had to struggle with?
Yeah, definitely. Like, reading books was never, like, something that me and my friends were trying to do after school or anything like that, or even in school for that matter. I had to really look within myself and ask myself what's best for me. And reading books isn't cool, but I have to do it. You know?
Brandon McFarland of Youth Radio joins us this morning along with Charles Purdy. Our topic is style and etiquette and really kindness and respect and how you ought to treat other people. And let us go now to our next caller from Alameda. I believe Luz is on the line with us, and I apologize if that's not the right pronunciation. Luz, I guess. Go ahead, please.
That's right. It's Luz. Good morning. I just have a comment, actually two comments. I think manners is showing respect to the people who are around you, and the way you treat others is how we expect to be treated ourselves. And another thing, manners take practice. I remember when I was growing up, my mom would tell me to show manners even when we were at home, because she said that in another situation, I wouldn't remember to act with manners. That is my comment.
All right. Luz, thanks very much for calling this morning. Here's an email. I once approached a woman for cursing on the bus in front of a 3-year-old child, no less, and she called me the social police. Is it ever okay to curse in public? Isn't it harmful for young people to hear that type of language? Charles Purdy.
I would say you should keep your cursing in public to a minimum, yes, and for exactly that reason. And again, I think that maybe is a case where it is acceptable to go up to someone and say, pardon me, pardon me, but there are children present. Could you please keep your voice a little bit quieter? And if someone then attacks you for that, then obviously you're dealing with someone who just doesn't care about other people. And if you can't deal with the language anymore, you should find someone who can.
And from Rhea in Concord, who writes, I think that it's tragic that manners are losing grip in society. How are you to show respect for others if not through a code of conduct and dress that is universally understood as signs of respect? Brendan, I guess, comes back to your basic point, which is how you act more mm-hmm. than necessarily what you wear.
There's still a lot of respect in my generation that yeah? I see like amongst me and my peers. There's a lot of respect.
Even to old radio hosts, like who are even older than the age of 53?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like between me and my friends, there is another language, and there's another, like our manners are kind of different, and people will look at them like, are these guys, what are these guys really saying? And we're just, you know, saying what's up or how was your day?
And it's what's interesting, I mean, I always sense that young people do have respect. Usually the ones I meet, although they may have the baggy pants and may look very cutting edge and a little bit scary even to someone as old as I am, they usually turn out to be, oh, this kid's
Charles
perfectly
is all of 36,
polite.
By
well,
the way, yeah.
yeah. This perfectly polite, perfectly nice kid. And I think what's sad or the missed opportunity is that people see something and they say, oh, this person is not respectful of me because of the way they're dressing. And so they never get past that first look. And that is too bad. And I think maybe, again, it goes back to what you wear does tell people something about how you feel about them.
And let's go to Donna in Silicon Valley, who wants to comment about tube tops and toe rings. Donna, go ahead.
Yes. Am I on there?
You are.
Good morning. A few little comments before I get started on the flip-flop flap, if I may. I'm just chilled to discover on my upcoming birthday I will be old in the eyes of youth, the exact age as Brandon's dad. And on the scatological, nasty, unpalatable language out in public, I am glad to hear and see that sort of a diminution of the F word used as every part of speech, and it was used liberally. I mean, in all walks, I would hear it, but I'm glad that seems to be passing. Another point, I would just like to commend Brandon. I think he's Mr. Marvelous example, and he gets my respect other than that elderly remark. I think we have very short memories in the media as well. In Mr. Bush's first administration, early on, one of his twins, I think it was Jenna, was nailed for underage drinking. In fact, I think they both were, but Jenna presented herself to a Texas judge in a miniskirt, a tube top, flip-flops, and a toe ring.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Thanks very much,
and then
Donna.
Another one very, very quickly
okay,
is that
please.
Ladies, what are known as slippers, evening slippers, a strappy shoe with the foot mostly exposed, without nylon stockings. You see pictures, close-ups at the Golden Globes, the Academy Awards, White House functions. That is all but a flip-flop. It's a sole with typically a stiletto heel and one tiny little strap of material holding the foot in. It's usually a strap of Swarovski diamonds for $5 to $10K, and that seems to make the critical difference. I think it's a specious topic.
All right, Donna.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in this morning. We should note, by the way, that it's not the Bushes who raised any objections to the flip-flop controversy of the Northwestern University students. It seems to be all of us who get up in arms and are interested in pursuing this topic and talking more about it. Let's go ahead and take another caller, Sabrina in Berkeley. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm calling from Berkeley, and I just want to address the original offense, and that flip-flops are actually an evolution of the Japanese sandal zori, and why people are being so offended by this. When it's worn with a traditional costume or dressed by dignitaries, even with socks called tabi, it doesn't seem to bother anyone then.
Hmm. Okay, Sabrina, thanks very much for the call. Emails continue to come in. A lot of people seem to be concerned about bus behavior. On the bus, we don't correct strangers. I understand that, generally pointing out that rudeness is also being rude. But what's the best and correct way to correct a friend who is self-absorbed and is talking in an inappropriate way? Do you deal with that, Brandon? Do you talk to your friends?
Friends, I can be honest and just say, hey, shut up or be cool or something, just so they understand me. And that they need to respect the situation. And my friends respect me enough to say, all right, and be quiet or stop cursing.
And Charles, what do you say in your book about urban etiquette in terms of dealing with friends? Because that's a different matter. It's one thing to deal with people on the bus. Another, if you've got a – in some ways, it's even perhaps more challenging to deal with a friend who – by way of behavior or language, is doing something you find problematic.
It is. Usually to correct someone's manners falls to their very close intimates, their parents or significant others, and even those significant others have to tread pretty carefully. If it's your friend, usually you can assume they know better and that they've momentarily slipped up, like, oh my gosh, we should probably wait and finish our cell phone call later because I hear you're on the bus and you don't want to disturb other people, so of course, I'll let you get off the phone. Or another way to handle it, more indirectly, is to talk at another occasion about how rude it is when people talk too loud on the bus, not accusing your friend, just in general, and maybe the lesson gets to them that way, and that way they haven't been accused of doing something wrong.
And here's another email from Mary. Is anyone as disgusted as I am with the current fashion among young women of wearing tutu low-rise pants with underwear showing? I don't know if I want to read the rest of this email. Anyway, goes on to also ask about exposed bellies, which became, of course, fashionable a number of years ago. Here's where I'm really sorry we don't have a woman panelist to respond. Yeah. Anyone want to tackle that? Brandon? No?
I don't Charles. Think I'm qualified.
Well, I think... Again, most people are coming – again, fashions change. But again, I think most people are coming down still at this point that the exposed belly button or the exposed derriere cleavage is out of place in a formal environment. That may change. And it's certainly – the MTV Awards are evidence that it's fashionable now to decorate your belly button and show off your derriere cleavage. And many people enjoy it.
And let's go next to John in Livermore. John, go ahead, please. Are you with us, John?
Hey.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, yeah. I had two quick comments, and the first one was, it seemed like the controversy about the flip-flops in the White House had more to do with the president's political rhetoric during the campaign than an actual fashion faux pas.
Well, I think you're right to make that reference, because a lot of the articles refer to the fact that there's a flip-flop controversy in the White House, and it's not John Kerry they're talking about, it's this. But go ahead with your comment.
And then my second comment was that in today's youth culture, the baggy pants style is actually a liability, and that's because I say that because I was recently mugged not so long ago, and one of the first things that they tried to do after they, you know, socked me down was they tried to take off my pants, but luckily I had the belt on and the pants were properly fitting. So they weren't allowed to take off the pants and run away with the wallet and or do worse damage. So to all those hip hoppers and skaters and whoever else wants to wear baggy pants, you know, you should keep that in mind.
And you can run faster, presumably, if you have your pants pulled up. Brandon, a thought?
Yeah, you can definitely run, hop a fence if you have to. If you keep pants up, you'll be all right. Yeah, that's very serious, and I never thought of it like that. I'm glad he called and told his story.
And next to John in Livermore. John, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to give Brandon support in the idea that it is definitely more important what your manners are than what you look like. I'm almost 30 now and work with a youth group, and the...
You only have 23 more years to go.
I know, before I'm old.
That's right.
Yep.
Well... the working with youth definitely makes you feel a little bit of it before your time, I found. But I just wanted to let him know that some of us adults do appreciate that. I find myself being looked at kind of funny for the way I dress sometimes, too, even among the youth when we go places that where we'll combine with other youth groups. I was leading a team of them. We were helping repair an elderly woman's house, and the kids I work with are used to it, but we show up, I knock on their door, and the kids had talked me into dyeing my hair bright blue before we left. So I show up with blue hair and tattoos hanging out underneath my shorts, and the woman just kind of gave me a funny look, and I got the same look from another adult, and halfway through the week, I was told by both people, you know, I had my reservations when I first saw you, but you seem to respond well to the kids, and you do work well with them. So, Brandon, there are adults who definitely understand and understand what you're going through, and we do appreciate the manners more than the dress.
All right, John.
And
thanks.
I'll take any comments off here.
Thanks very much. Thanks for calling in.
Well, and how much, but I mean, and I agree with that. I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but how much easier things would have been, perhaps, if those parents had not had that initial first negative reaction. So, I mean, that initial negative reaction, I think, does damage. And your first impression, you never find out what the strangers you come across with have to offer you in the way of friendship, in the way of a job, in the way of whatever, if you are turning them off in little subtle ways by behaving in a way that seems disrespectful, even though it isn't, even though it isn't.
Charles Purdy has joined us this hour. He is the author of Urban Etiquette, and people can email their manners questions into you, right, as well, for your weekly column?
Yes, my website is at www.dearsocialgrace.com, and there's a link to my email address there.
So if you have more questions for what you ought to do, regardless of whether you're over or under the age of 53, that's where you can get the best style advice. Brandon McFarland has joined us this hour as well. He's from Youth Radio. He'll be going to San Francisco State in the fall, where I am sure he will do great things. Brandon, thanks very much for being part of our program.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum. Our producers include Kevin Guillory, Hermione G., and Robin Giannatasio-Mall. The executive producer of Forum is Raul Ramirez. Michael's back on Monday, where he will explore what's happening with the digital economy. That's Monday morning on Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.